Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is World Form Zen Fighting Champion John Chung, and you're listening to the AMAA Legends and Pioneers Radio Blog Show with Professor Gary Lee and the Sport Karate Museum Archive, connecting the history one warrior at a time. Enjoy.
This program is sponsored by the American Martial Arts Alliance Foundation and Elite Publications. Everyone has a story. You just have to get it out. Visit Elite Publications at www.elitepublications.org.
Aloha, everybody. Much mahalo.
Aloha.
This is Professor Gary Lee and the Sport Karate Museum in Sugar Land, Texas. And we have another parts unknown Sport Karate Museum show for you tonight. Tonight we have a very special guest. But you know, ladies and gentlemen, before I introduce my special guest, I get to introduce the man that the vision put us on the air for going on 10 years. We just received an incredible award this weekend also at the Mega Weekend where he represented the Sport Karate Museum. He's an incredible producer, an author. I respect you so much what he does. His name is Hachi Jesse Bowen, and he's on the air with me. So Hachi, are you there, sir?
I am, sir. How are you doing?
I'm excited to hear about your weekend. I'm excited about our award that Alan graciously awarded our network. So go ahead, Hachi. Will you share that with us, please?
We really did working closely with Sifu Goldberg, you know, over the past 5 years. This was the fifth book we produced. You know, we have your show. We have about three other podcasts that we're doing. We just launched a new podcast a few weeks ago, the Martial Arts Extraordinaire podcast, which goes in sync with our magazine, the Martial Arts Extraordinaire magazine. So, you know, we're doing a lot of different things out there. You know, it's just being blessed to be recognized, you know, by, you know, organizations like Sifu Goldberg, because if these organizations didn't exist, we may not have the motivation to do it. But, you know, our motivation is really based upon being the outcome of being able to, you know, to impact the lives of others. And we do. You know, your show every week, you know, someone is recognized, someone's life is touched, maybe in a small way, but in a way that really, really supports, you know, what the martial arts is about. And we are on the front line doing that. And Sifu Goldberg's event gives us that opportunity to do that. So it was a great event. We got recognized along with other, you know, esteemed martial artists. The dinner, I guess, was between, you know, 800 to 900 people for dinner. So it was really, really pretty good. It was a great event.
Well, that's exciting that you represented your organization, the Elite Publication, and, of course, the AMAA Network, and, of course, the Karate Museum. And, you know, hey, anybody that's out on the air right now, can you mute your phone, please, so the background noise? There you go. Thank you so much. Now, thank you, Bowers. Tell us about the magazine that you're doing, the Extraordinaire Magazine.
Well, yeah, the Extraordinaire Magazine is really a magazine that we, you know, that we started to support. One second here. There you go. Okay, to support the everything that we were doing with honoring people that were in the book. So it's an extension, you know, of the book. We have now really focused on the magazine of being more than just an extension on the book, but as a marketing tool to really help martial artists gain recognition in their communities. So it's more of a marketing brand. It's not a famous magazine. It's a marketing and branding magazine to help martial artists to establish themselves, to gain recognition in the community, and to help them to grow their martial arts schools.
Is that the magazine that you asked me to write articles for? Is that the one?
Yes, sir, it is. And
Super. Yeah, I remember
and
now,
I said, yeah, after the Vic Moore magazine comes out next month, then we're going to have
Crazy Victor
one
Moore.
For,
did you get to talk to Victor this weekend?
Yes, I did. His booth was right beside mine, and we had a great event. Yes, sir.
I don't mean to interrupt you here, but somebody in the background is making noise in their mouthpiece, and it sounds like they're rattling their dentures together.
AJ, thank you for saying that.
That's what it sounds like. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, Bowen, Bowen, the magazine is going to be coming out, or is it already out?
Now, the Vic Moore cover comes out towards the end of this month. I think that's the 24th.
Yeah, we get the advertising and get it out there. That's great. That's great.
Right.
Now, is this a subscription, or they can get it online or go to a magazine?
Yeah, you can get a subscription magazine. You can go to the to our AMA website, and you can subscribe there. The magazine is available online at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Books A Million. So it's really available for people to be able to get online.
Super, super. Well, thank you so much for all you do, and thank you for having the vision of allowing the Sport Card Museum to be a part of what your journey is. And I'm so proud I got to share an award with you, sir. It really means a lot. So you have a good evening, please.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Aloha. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I got two people that watch my six every week. And I don't know if he got to call in yet or not, but I know he's always busy knocking people out. So I'm going to get to introduce Dean, and then I'm going to introduce the other guy. He's pretty cool, too. Anyway, Dean Pyle, Fort Walton, Florida, is one of my co-hosts that kind of helps me or watches my sex, per se. He is a 40-time, I'm not making that up, ladies and gentlemen, NASCAR NBO world champion. An amazing man. And hopefully he'll holler me a little bit. But the next guy, that's my co-host, and I say healthy. Well, he watches my dear friend, my spokesman of the military advisory board that we have at the museum. The only martial artist I know of has ever been inducted into the Cleveland Sport Hall of Fame. A master in Taekwondo, Karate, Korean martial arts. My friend, Mr. A.J. Perry. A.J., you there?
Yes, sir. Thank you for the nice introduction. How are you?
Well, I'm doing good, A.J. How's Ohio?
Good. Starting to warm up a little bit.
I hope so. Well, I can't wait to see you October 4th and 5th at the Youth, you know, Meet the Pioneers Conference. And I might make you do a demonstration. I might make you get out there and perform a little bit. So I hope you're ready, baby. Okay?
Yes, sir.
I made you laugh. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I've got a very special guest tonight. He is a Texas boy. He is a former kickboxing animal from Texas. Fought in the TACO tournaments back in the day. he has deep, deep roots in the Native American community. He is an artist, not just a martial artist, but an artist. A few years ago, Judge Roy Kerman's event, he drew this beautiful picture of Mr. Kerman, and we'll talk about that. He also is married to one of the dearest friends of the museum. Well, together, they're very important. In fact, last year, the museum put him into the London Black Hall of Fame together. And I hope Lori's on the air too. Like, but I want to bring him on right now, my friend from Texas, Mr. Barry Byers. Barry, you there?
Yes, sir, I am. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Well, man,
and I also thank
which one can I call you?
You can call me whatever you want to. Many people have. You can call me Barry. Okay. Yeah, that's great.
I can't
call
you Kicking Bear. Let's talk about that. Why are you called Kicking Bear, too?
Well, you know, when I was a baby, when I was being born, I was coming out of my in my birthing a little bit wild and crazy, and they almost dropped me because I was squirming like a little cub bear. Where my uncles and all the family that was there said, "Well, he is like a little cub," and that was the beginning of the statement of, I'm no longer a cub. Quit calling me cub. I'm a kicking bear. And
I love it.
So you know, I was pretty rowdy anyway as a kid. But go ahead. What was your next question?
Okay, what year did you make Black Belt under Travis Simmons?
Okay, I had my first black belt under Raymond Heredia. I was a junior black belt at 16 at a Cal Farley's Boys Ranch in Amarillo, Texas, where we practiced wrestling. And the secret guys that were living the way, we trained in martial arts, Hapkido and different styles. I was a high kick karate guy. So my first junior black belt when I was 16 years old was from Raymond Heredia. Now with Travis Everett, when I was coming into Houston, Texas at that particular time, in 1973, and actually that was the same year I started the Texas Twin Dragon Karate Integrated Martial Arts group members. And Travis Everett took a real liking to me because I was pressing my nose on his window for his new school there in Bel Air Boulevard, next to Bissonnette, and Larry Shelton, of course. I don't know if you guys know him, but he was the managing franchise for that particular place. But Travis Everett was our guy, and then our supreme grandmaster was David Moon.
Well, you know, I mentioned Travis Everett because I knew Travis, and of course, I'm very good friends with David. You know, David's down in Mexico now. He makes tequila. He's got an empire down there with karate. He's pretty cool. But anyway, let's go back to Texas. Let's go back to Texas.
While we were in Houston, Travis Everett, of course, trained full contact, and that's the way I like training. It's the only way I've ever really trained.
Like I said, Barry, let's go back to Texas.
What?
Let's go back to Walt Mason and Taka.
Oh, okay. Well, okay, so that's 73 to near 78 that we were training down there in Houston, Texas with the Hungar Kung Fu and Travis Everett and George Minshew and a few others that were down there. When we had to move to Dallas, that was in 1978, and we began a friendship with a couple police officers out there who guided us to the Texans Karate Club, which was Alan Thien's flagship at that particular time and one of the oldest martial arts studios in that particular area. And their style was Chundokwan. Now, I had many other styles, but I jumped into Chundokwan under Grandmaster Royce Young, who is probably the nicest and sweetest and most meanest man in martial arts. He was mean. That was in Dallas, Texas, 78, on to, I believe, 94. I moved on to other areas. But with Royce Young, that was point sparring. We had the Sun Belts. We had the Nationals. We had the Pro-Ams. We had all of those point systems that they were using back then, and I loved it, except when it got to a point, I wanted to finish it with knockouts. And so we really went from the old Travis Everett School and joined Walt Mason over there at Texas Karate Institute in Richardson, Texas. Now, Walt Mason became of the fiber of what we wanted to do is the fun, loving.
That was Taka,
WKA.
Is it Taka or Taka? Which one do you say it?
Yeah, Taka.
Taka, okay.
Because I'm a Native American, I think of tacos when I hear T A together.
You're funny.
I think you're funny. But in any case, Taka, but it was another organization. See, you know, the thing of it is the vibrational energy in martial arts comes from the person. You have to be determined. You have to be persistent. You have to have focus in your life. And when I became a military cadet at 9 years old, I learned about focus and what that focus meant.
Jimmy,
I was to be a soldier.
Jimmy, Barry, that's definitely where the focus is. Kimmy, you little brother. You're talking right.
I know. I think I've been around the block a couple of times when it comes to these martial art advocates and the people that are involved in martial arts. You know, that's the one thing about diversity and understanding integration is you have to move around. If you're practicing in the same place, doing the same things, you're going to get the same results. If you want something different and you want to become a little better, then you have to use that martial arts skill and training in everything you do, and it's called the way. And once you're into the way, then the people that are around you are motivated. They're influenced. They understand. But you're not just doing it by mouth. You're doing it by your actions. And I mean getting in that gym and fighting the hardest people you can find and being involved in that. And I believe this. If you believe that you have received it, then it will be yours. Now, that comes out of a good book. And so we have to believe. Who's going to help kids believe? Who's going to help people believe? But the instructor. You guys. You are the element that creates the vibrational energy that is needed so that we can pay attention to our own attention. If my attentions are on video games.
Barry, I got to ask you.
Interest becomes.
So I got to listen question to your. I gotta hit you with, okay.
Go ahead.
You got to hang out with the likes of Ray McCallum, Phil Wyman,
oh my God,
Tim Wiseman, Guy Metzger, Tim Kirby, Billy Jackson. What was it like working out with all those guys? What was it like to be right out with Dean and Royce Young?
You know,
what was it like
to try?
Barry?
Well, I'll tell you. In the best way I possibly can. When you're a young child and you get to go on your first ride in the Six Flags or one of these parks that you can have fun, and you're sitting down and you're watching these guys explode, it is that thrill. It is that excitement. It influenced everything in your body to want to do that kind of thing. And every one of those gentlemen that you just mentioned that are what I consider the forefathers, the first and second and third generations of martial artists that we know of, those are exemplary people that did it. I mean, Jim Ronan Harrison, all of these guys, you know, when I think of these guys.
Rest in peace, Jim. Now, I got to ask you, you fought a friend of mine years ago, Dennis Alexio. Tell me what was that like. Did you win that fight or did he win it?
No. Neither one of us. He won, but none. I didn't lose. I just learned a lesson. Dennis Alexio is a very good friend of mine. Still, we write back and forth. and we're kind of moving along here pretty quick, and it's 91. So this is after all of the fights I had in full contact throughout my life. In 1991,
yeah.
I was bartending at the Texas Trap, which was a biker bar, and they needed my services because I could actually take some of those guys and put them on the street. So what they would utilize me for was that kind of personality. In any case, I was bartending, and I got a call from Walt Mason, and he said, "Hey, Barry, how would you like to fight one of the greatest strikers of all times?" And, of course, my answer is always, "Of course I would. How much time do I have to train?" He goes, "Well, you only got 2 weeks, my friend." And at that time as a bartender and things, I said, "Well, let's get this done. When does it happen? Where does it happen?" And that's how I met Dennis Alexio in the ring, and we had breakfast and showed each other black eyes and talked about what was going on, and it was wonderful. I love Dennis Alexio. Brad Hefton, another great guy I met down in Atlanta. We moved around with him. And
yep.
Kenny Wise. Yeah. And there's so many champions. Raymond McCallum was one. I want to interject this. Raymond McCallum would come to the studio at Waltz, jump in the ring with me, do 5 or 6 rounds, full contact, and then jump out of the ring and say, "Let's go watch the film." And he is just an amazing, incredible influence. And I'm very proud to call him my friend.
Barry, it was really special seeing Raymond a couple months ago at the Legends. It was very special. Raymond is definitely one of the greatest fighters you ever had. Now, I'm going to bounce for a minute. Is your best friend beside you, Lori? Is she there?
Hello. Hi. Hi, Gary.
Hey, Lori. I couldn't
be
Barry without talking to you. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you for taking care of Barry, man. He's a good guy. I just wanted to say hello to you. You bet.
You're welcome.
Barry, I got to ask one more thing. You did something a couple of years ago. You did a beautiful painting of me, but you also did one of Judge Roy Kerman. But you added some really cool things of Roy's career that was very special. Tell people about how long you've been painting, by the way.
Well, I started painting by my mother's decision because I was hanging out in the woods in the tree at the park all the time. And so she brought me in and showed me some paintings and said, "How would you like to paint?" And she got me painting. So I had my first museum piece when I was in the fifth grade, and it went all over the world and came back, and it showed that there was some kind of a talent there. So I continued painting to this day. I have hundreds of paintings.
You have a gift, and you have a style that's unique. Now let's talk about Judge Roy Kerman's painting. Let's talk about the little inserts that you put in, like the feathers or the tell me about what you did.
Well, basically, I wanted to capture Judge Roy Kerman, the GM, who was one of the greater influences in my life, as well as J. Pat Burleson. I put him in his boxing stance before he was getting ready for an event. And so I painted that, and then, of course, I added Gary Lee. Professor Gary Lee, because of his amazing life that people need to hear more about and everything that he's done to influence martial arts, and myself included, correcting the measures of life is a great goal. Now, I added Mr. Parks in there, who was one of Roy Kerbin's champion grandmaster trainers, as well as Larry Castor, and those that were involved in his life, including some other gentlemen that we see in the background who would be what we call the blood and guts era individuals, like, Jeff Smith and those guys. So, incredible. I just walked away from the print of that painting. I did keep prints of you and of Judge Roy Kerbin so that I could look.
Well, you know.
You've got the original.
Barry, seriously, I want to say this to you on the air, in public, in front of the thousands of people that listen. You are a renaissance man. You're an artist. You're a martial artist. You're a kickboxer. You're a personal friend. You're a big advocate of the museum. I mean, you really are. You and Lori together are inspiration for every year what I do. Now, why? Why is the history so important, Barry, for you?
You know, truly it's because I'm aligned with some of the greatest people in the world, not just as martial artists and grandmasters and teachers, inventors and creators, but the personality of happiness, of goodwill, the intentions of those people, being aligned with those people, it helps and benefits healing and wellness in my life. And one of the greatest things that we can have in martial arts is happiness. And happiness is the goal in everything that we do in life. And the only way to achieve happiness is to fight for it. And I mean in all different ways.
You're a good friend. You're a dear friend. You're a pioneer. You're a history general of the Sport Crowd Museum. Now, don't go nowhere because I got a little segment, got a commercial, and then I'm going to bring you back, and we're going to play the Legends Name Game. This is where I'll say names, and you get to talk about them for a couple minutes, whether you like them or not. I know them, and I'll talk about them. Okay, buddy?
I love everybody. Thank you.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking to the Texas icon, Barry Byers. And we'll bring him back in just a moment. But, you know, the neat thing about this show is I had a vision before I put it on. I wanted to put together people's opinions from across America on topics. And I did that. They're called the Five. Five incredible martial artists from all across the country. All were part of the sport karate in some part of their life. And I got them, ladies and gentlemen. I did it. I put together the Five. And we're going to bring them on. And tonight it's going to be hairy for me because the topic is they get to ask me any two questions, either about my journey or sport karate from 1945 until the present. I hope I can answer the questions. But the first person I'm going to bring on is someone very special. I call her, well, she's the first lady of the Sport Karate Museum as far as I'm concerned, because she's been with me from the beginning. She's an 8th-degree black belt in Shorinju Karate Do. But she's now an advocate, very active in Kung Fu martial arts. She has a gift. And she teaches Tai Chi Shan. Hopefully she'll be able to do a seminar this year for us at the Legends. But she is a past PKL champion. Back in the days when the professional karate league dominated the East Coast. Well, she dominated PKL. And I got her part of the Five. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll bring on Karen Flash. Karen, you there?
I am here. Thank you. Such a nice introduction. Wow.
I didn't know that.
Well, the check's in the mail, right?
Oh, I hope. Yeah.
8:30.
You bet. Now, remember, ladies and gentlemen, if you're not talking, please mute your phone.
I got my microphone problem.
Oh, I didn't know.
Someone's
yeah.
talking.
No, you told me, no.
Okay. Anyway, Karen.
Here we go.
You got two questions. What's the first question?
Okay, here's the first question. When you were competing in the circuit, MBL and all of them, did you ever judge?
Well, yes, I did, and I took it very personal because, to me, it was about fighting, kata, weapons, and judging. Because to me, that was the ultimate attitude that someone came up to me and asked me to judge, you know, a black belt. Always cherished that. So I really worked hard at being a judge. But yes, I did.
Okay. So did you realize what the judges go through? Being a judge all day of divisions, one right after another, it's quite an obligation to stay focused, and it's really hard. And some people who competed never did that.
Pizza, we care. You got to fly some pizza
whenever you want.
Coke. That was our award. And
yes, if you were lucky.
But, yeah, but I remember. Okay, I'm not bragging. But when I did the Karate Illustrated Be Ready to Event back in the early 80s, I paid the judges. Now, I didn't just pay them. I took them out to the Chinese buffet, the Wong's restaurant. I fed them. I took care of them. Because to me, the time they spent that Saturday all day with me, putting up with my attitude and the black folks that were there, they were worth not only money, but worth the time to me to feed them.
I know it.
Well, thank you for that. You got another question? Or is that?
Well, yeah. My other question is, I know your life is hard right now. And when you get up in the morning, when you wake up, what gets you going? What is it that keeps you going day after day?
Every one of you pioneers, every one of you pioneers. I mean, I believe that people that became martial artists from the 60s, the 70s, 80s, even the early 90s, there are the pioneers that help keep that history alive, whether they go to a tournament, or they listen to the show, or they buy a hat. I don't care. The bottom line is we got to support each other, the Pine Bears. That's what motivates me.
Okay. That's
Gary,
what I kind of hoped you would
AJ?
Say.
It is.
Thank you.
You know, it's
is
kind
AJ?
Of funny.
You got a question?
Yes, it is.
You have a question?
Yeah, Kieran mentioned a word earlier, and it was really kind of funny because that kind of segues in to a question I had for you and had to do with your experience in martial art. What does obligation mean to you, and what does it have to do with martial art?
Well, obligation means that I keep my word, first of all, and loyalty. I believe those are, you know, just a little code of Bushido. Obligation means that years ago, 20, 25, 30 years ago when we started this idea of the Sport Crown Museum, the obligation I was to keep my word, to say and do what the pioneers helped me establish. I believe that was what I believe the obligation is, AJ. I really do. That help answer your question?
Sure. Thank you.
You got another one? You get one more. Go ahead.
No, that was actually a two-part question.
Okay. Did I answer it all?
Yes, you did. Thank you.
You bet, buddy. Love you. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, go back to the five. I have another lady of the group. Now, this lady is a champion's champion, a ladies' lady. And I remember back in the day, she was so tiny. I bet she didn't weigh 100 pounds. Wet. Anyway, she was a bad technician. She could hit her. And she is on the show. She's part of the five, one of my pioneers, one of my history generals, Lourdes Radulat. Lourdes, you there?
Yes, I am. Good evening, sir.
How are you, Lourdes? How you doing?
Doing well. Thank you for asking. Thank
okay, you,
for you
got two questions. Go ahead. The first one.
You know, I would like to know of the various martial arts that I know that you have studied and had an opportunity to get into the technical parts of it in both in forms and in fighting. And which one of the ones that you have personally studied, which one of those holds that igniting spot more so than the others that you studied as well, sir?
Well, you know, I made Bobby Lowe in Kyokushin at 14 years old in Hawaii, and that holds a close part to my heart. Of course, in Kempo also, because I was under a man named Toshiro Sensei, who was under a man named William Chow. So I was very deep into Kempo also. But when I came to America, when I came to the mainland, Lorden, I got involved with a lot of different martial arts. Particularly, I ended up in Greenville, South Carolina, and living in the basement of Sam Chapman's Karate School. That was the American Sport Karate Association, Bobby Tucker, Joe Corley, Keith Vitale, all those animals. So I got a big taste of American karate. Now, I was like everybody else. If you didn't mention Okinawa or Japanese or Korean or Chinese martial arts, it wasn't martial arts. But I realized that Sam Chapman had trained with Ernie Lieb, the founder of the AKA. And the American Karate Association was simply, the American karate style simply took the best of all those other four styles and they applied their technique. So I was at home. I didn't enjoy back then getting beat up by Sam Chapman and Bobby Tucker and Keith and all those guys, but they taught me. They got me ready for Texas. And when I came to Texas, I got thrown into Taekwondo with George Minshew and George and Mr. Burleson. I didn't really understand Taekwondo, but I enjoyed learning and teaching the way that George wanted me to teach. But to answer the question deeply, Kempo. I'm a Kempo man.
Hmm.
And Kyokushin was very deeply because it taught me the attitude of contact. Kempo taught me the attitude of being smart. Because as you know, there are five animals. The tiger, the crane, the snake, and the monkey. And then that imaginary animal, that dragon, where there's no limit. That no limit. You know, there's no holds barred. And, you know, as you learn to be like an animal, think like an animal, you think about protection. You would, like if a mongoose went into a snake lair, would that snake protect its eggs? Of course it would. How would it protect it? How would it react? How would it move? Well, that's where the monkey, the tiger, and the crane, and the snake have their movements. But the dragon, there are no limits. You had that with the karate attitude, then you've got Gary Lee. I hope I answered your question.
You know, I have to tell you, you were phenomenal. I loved your response, really enjoyed it immensely. And it actually went into my next question in an aspect, because my next question was going to be of the tournaments that you associated yourself with personally. Which one in, I'm going to say fighting, which one in fighting, like whether you won or lost, stood out the most to you and amplified missing other interactions in contact sport fighting?
Well, the best way I can answer that, Lourdes, is that the most important, I believe, that I was recognized for was the Golden Greek. It took me 17 years to win that award. Now, I'll share it with you. The first 8 years the Greek died in 1981. I lost it by 2 or 3 points to people like Chuck Timmons, Cobra Blackland, Richard Cesaris, and a few others. So I got frustrated, and I went to the NBL, NAFTA, and the USAF, and did that. But I came back to Texas. I came back to Texas in 1997, and that's when I won it. But that was the most important moment to be accepted as an adopted Texan, Lourdes. It really was.
Well,
and
I'll
mean
tell you,
that from the heart.
It sounds extremely significant to me, and I can understand why you feel that way about it and have those feelings. Thank you for sharing them with us tonight. Really
you bet,
appreciate
it. God bless you for
Thank
being
you,
part of the five, and I'll talk to you real soon. Ladies and gentlemen,
thank you.
Now this next person is so special. He is an American hero, a Marine. Hurrah! My animal friend, my advisor, my personal advisor for the Sport Crime Museum, part of the military advisory group, a Sika champion, trained in Okinawa with 4 different masters. God bless him. My friend, my hero, Colonel Phil Torres. Colonel, are you there?
Yes, Phil, I am. And again, thank you for the introduction and checks in the mail.
Well, okay. Checks in the mail. You took my line. Now, you got 2 questions, sir. Go ahead. I'm nervous because I've been nervous all day wanting to listen to your question. Your 2 questions. Go ahead, sir.
Well, my question to you is, I'll start it out with a statement and then I have a multi-part question. You have a burning passion for keeping the martial arts in general and sports karate specifically alive. So my first question would be, what lessons and or experiences led you to embark on such a cause? To have this burning passion that you had from ever since I met you many years ago.
Yes, sir. Well, you know, not going in depth, my father was Japanese. My mother was Polynesian. And he was a pilot. And he had a biplane in Hawaii. And for meditation, he would take it out every Sunday and fly over Kona and up sugar fields and stuff just to get his thoughts together. He was a samurai colonel. He was a bad dude. And one Sunday, my mother went with him, and they crashed. And I was 5 years old, and I was given to my uncle. Well, my uncle... It was unexpected, per se, and he lived on the beach. And one day I chased the volleyball over the hill, and there was Bobby Lowe in the ocean with about 100 black boats doing cien kata, you know, breathing. The waves hitting them. It mesmerized me. I knew somewhere, somehow, at 5 years old even, I wanted to be a black belt. And things happened, and I ended up working out with Bobby Lowe and Tishiro Sensei, and them basically raising me till I was 14 years old, sir. And the passion of knowing that there's hundreds of Hawaiians that deserved to come to the mainland. I was chosen. I was lucky enough to be in the moment of that life, of my life, be able to come to the mainland. So I am passionate because I love keeping the history alive because I've worked that history. You know, I was a black belt point fighter for almost 40 years. And I didn't like getting hit in the face. But, you know, I'm passionate because I'm lucky to be here, sir. Your second question, sir?
Well, first of all, thank you for that profound answer, and I am sorry to learn about your parents.
Yes, sir.
My second part of the question would be, do you feel you have accomplished your mission in life, or you are well on your way to accomplish this burning passion that you have in your heart?
Well, you know, I do have a bucket list. 2 months ago, you experienced the last part of, well, one of the parts of the bucket list, to honor Mike Stone and bring all you guys together. It took me 30 years to do that, to have an event like that, to have everybody together like that. But, you know, I believe that you got to be progressive, sir. You got to think about where you're going to be at 5 years from now, period, and what you got to do to get there. And even though there's detours and hills and trenches, even mountains, you get a vision, you learn to kimi, you learn to focus, you learn to go forward, and then you surround yourself by the amazing people that you looked up to all your life. That's how I feel about it, sir. I really do.
And I guess the last part of my question is, what is next for Gary Lee?
To build a slot machine and put them in 2,100 casinos around the world. A sport crotty machine slot machine. And also to unite people more, to bring that friendship that Barry was talking about, that attitude of smiles and making people feel good. I believe that we're only here for a moment, Colonel, and our life is made up of different moments. But the moments that we make will make the impact for many generations. And I thank you so much for being who you are and what you are to the world of the martial arts, to the museum, and especially to me. So you take care.
Well, thank you, sir. And I'm sure Dr. Lee will help you put a slot machine in every casino.
I hope so. I hope so. Anyway, God bless you, Colonel. Carrying on
thank
with
you.
The five. Yes, sir. Carrying on the five, I have this gentleman that I've been a part of his journey that he's been a part of for many years. And together, we are nominating, well, I'm nominating, but through his vision, we're putting in some incredible people to the United States Martial Arts Hall of Fame. Now, he's the president. He's not just someone that works there. He runs it. He's the boss. But he has a vision for history, because he is history. He's an author. He's a good, good, good person within our community. And we get to support him this year because we're doing a tribute to this man. I want to bring him on right now, Dr. John Terry. John, are you there?
I am here, my friend. How are you?
Well, I've been nervous answering all these questions. And, you know, I got two more, you and Adam. So go ahead. First question, sir?
Absolutely. First question. Out of all the lessons that you've learned from all of your time in sport karate, what is the greatest leadership lesson you've learned that's helped you become who you are?
To watch someone walk into the dojo off the street, have no idea about martial arts or karate, and then nourish them through the years to become black belt and see them become a black belt. I'm not talking about tournament karate. I'm talking about having the attitude, Bushido. And knowing that I trained them from the very beginning, when they were a child or an adult, they became a black belt. That I hope that answered your question, sir.
Absolutely. Yes, it did. You know, leaders reproduce other leaders. So great answer. Second question. If you could go back to one fight out of all the fights that you had and fight that fight again, who would you go back and fight and why?
Well, I fought, well, remember Ishmael Robles,
mm-hmm.
world champion Ishmael Robles from Galveston, Texas?
Yes,
he was the first man that gave away six-foot trophies in Texas black belt competition. And I wanted one of those six-foot trophies really bad. And I went there and I fought my dear friend Zip White. And I got lucky. I won. And then I had to fight Mr. Ray McCallum. And he beat the crap out of me. If I could change anything, I'd try to give Raymond a better fight. Because Raymond is one of our greatest icons.
An incredible fighter.
And,
yeah.
Yes. So, but, you know, I mention those guys not to be a name dropper, but because I respect them deeply. And, but, yeah, that's, you know, I fought a lot of people, John. But my memorable fight was with Raymond, you know, because I idolized him, and I knew how great
sure.
he was, but I couldn't stop him.
Yeah, he was an it did, sir. Thank you. Yeah, Ray was an incredible fighter.
You bet, you bet. Well, you know, thank you for the questions, John. And how do you feel about us giving you a tribute this year? Is that pretty cool?
It is, sir. It's a distinct honor that, you know, as I've told you before, it's, you know, I've looked at all the people that have come before me, and I'm humbled that you've chosen this year to have an opportunity to say thank you to me. So I appreciate that very much, sir.
That's what it is, a thank you for all your work you do. So God bless you, John, and tell your lovely daughter, Jessie, I said hello, okay?
Absolutely. I will, sir.
You bet. Now, Adam James is on the line yet. Okay. Well, let me go to the man I've been involved with for almost 7 years, ladies and gentlemen.
There he is, Adam. I'm here.
Oh, Adam. Okay. Adam is part of the five, ladies and gentlemen. Let me introduce him, and then I'll go to the set VR gentleman, Dr. Lee. Now, this man, Mr. Adam James, well, I would say he's kind of more of a friend to me. He's more family. We've been together for quite a while. We go back to the old World Bot Boat days when we worked for Bob Wall. He's been to a few legends. He understands the passion I have towards sport karate, and he's part of the five. He's also now the new Doc Savage in the series that's coming out. I'm excited about that, too.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, my friend, Adam James. Adam, you there?
Yes, hello. Great to be here.
Hey, man, I know I can count on you. I know you're running late because you work late, but what's got two questions, Adam? The first question, go ahead, buddy, first one.
Well, I remember meeting you for the very first time with Bob, and so I've often wondered about how Bruce Lee influenced you because he's influenced so many of us in the martial arts, and I'm curious about how your interaction with the people that trained and worked with Bruce has impacted your life.
Well, I've watched Enter the Dragon over 100 times. I
hitchhiked
from California to watch Return of the Dragon over 50 times probably, back when I didn't have a car. I mean, Bruce Lee influenced everybody, but the people in the movie like Enter the Dragon, Bob Wall, Jerry Smith, Donnie Williams, I mean, amazing group of people that I knew personally that were in the movie. And you know what? I tell you, Adam, it's funny. I didn't get to meet Bruce Lee, but I bumped into it. I ended up going to, when I first came to the mainland, going to Sherman Oaks, that when Joe Louis owned the Sherman Oaks Karate Studio with Bawa, I think. Anyway, they were having a seminar there, and I wanted to go there. So I was pushing my way through the crowd, you know, whatever. And I bump into this Chinese guy.
Yeah.
And I say, excuse me. But I bump into him. I know. And I go inside. I run into somebody I know. And I go, man, they're excited. Joe Louis. And you look at them, and says, they're not excited because of Joe Louis. They're excited about Bruce Lee being here. And that's who I bumped into. Now, they were excited about Joe and stuff, but still, that's how I met Bruce. Well, I didn't meet him, but I bumped into him.
Yeah. That's great.
Second question, buddy. Go ahead.
Well, I know that you also worked in a movie with Chuck Norris, and I'd love to know a little bit more about, and I'm sure the listeners would love to know a little bit more about your experience on a set with Chuck Norris.
Well, I was in the movie Sidekicks, and I was there for a few reasons. One, I helped choreograph the breaking in Sidekicks, and I also was, well, my sword instructor, Ibor Shirayado, 27 years was Mako, as you do. And
yeah.
So in between the cut of the scenes, I would train with Mako. And so that would be interesting. But the most interesting thing about Psychic to me was in the end of the movie, when everybody's all together and you see us all together, I'm the only one wearing my uniform with Hawaii on the back, Hakama, whatever. And there's a really cool story about that. I waited in line, like everybody else, to get our costumes and uniforms because we all had to match because we all filmed different times of the week and we all had to match whoever filmed. And so I waited in line to Adam. And finally, Rick Corito, who was the stunt choreographer at the time, he gives me a uniform top. It was a Tang Soo Do uniform top. Had the stripes, you know, the black stripes on the sides and the lapel.
Yeah.
And I looked at Rick and I said, Rick, I can't put that on. And I was being ignorant, I guess. I don't know. Because I was thinking, I'm a Japanese stylist. I can't put on a Korean top. And Rick says, no, Gary. You're under contract. You need to. We got to film. We got to all look alike. And I insisted I wasn't going to wear it. He got on the walkie-talkie with Aaron, who was directing the film, Chuck's brother. And they said to Aaron, when he found out about it through the walkie-talkie, they said he threw the walkie-talkie across the set. Then he gets on the walkie-talkie and says, who? Gary. And Aaron goes, Gary Lee? And Rick goes, it's Gary Lee. And then Aaron goes, can he wear his black hakama, his black top that he's been working out with Mako with? And I said, I'll do that. I'll do that. So I'm the only person. The only person who got to wear my own uniform hakama on the set of Sidekick throughout the whole movie.
Except what a great story. That is awesome.
One scene where I broke through the brick wall with Jonathan Brandis. I was a ninja for that. But anyway, that was my experience with Sidekick.
Terrific. Well, great story. Thank you so much for answering those two questions. You're doing a great job at the show and with the Sport Karate Martial Museum, and I encourage you to keep going. We all appreciate you.
Well, I love the five. Thank you so much, Adam. God bless
you. Yes,
sir.
Thank you.
You know, I want to bring on, like I said, Dr. Reginald Lee, the co-founder of SetVR. Now, SetVR is virtual reality. It's the Oculus Quest platform. But it's a hologram that will kick your butt, and they've allowed the Sport Karate Museum to be a part of it. Dr. Lee, are you there, sir?
Yes, I am, sir. Good evening. How are you?
Well, good evening, sir. Now, we've taken SetVR XL Unleashed to a different level. Now, we only got a couple minutes, but I'd like to explain to people as much as you can about what SetVR is. Please, go ahead.
We look at SetVR as a tool, self-defense enhancement training and virtual reality, as a tool to help enhance your skills in self-defense, just as you would with a human bag, speed bag, or Wing Chun, the dummy. Imagine wanting to continue to practice your skills in self-defense anytime, anywhere, when you want to be totally immersed in a cutting-edge program, moving 360 degrees against an attacker that has been designed to kick your butt when you least expect it with sudden and random attacks, so you can maintain, develop, or improve muscle memory, timing, speed, and coordination, and the goal of developing a reflex response to neutralize hesitation, just like if you were placing your hand on a hot stove. We've all been in a situation where we've been caught off guard during an adrenaline surge to develop that reflex response. Or imagine wanting to continue to practice in a program to improve your skills in evasion, moving angular, linear, and circular to help you to maximize the probability of neutralizing your attacker without hesitation to move reflexively. With the Oculus Quest or Oculus Rift headset, you'll be transported into this virtual reality program where an attacker will confront and attack you when you least expect it. The goal is to be able to neutralize the attack reflexively to improve your skills in timing, speed, accuracy, and develop a muscle memory and reflex response to neutralize without hesitation. This is a program whereby you continue to practice what you've been taught, guidance informed, and the application in a program whereby an attack will attack you randomly to practice anytime, anywhere, when you want. We've implemented a program of mindfulness, of stretching, meditation, exercise, and we'll also present you with your own yoga instructor. So continue to visit us at our website, www.setvrxout.com. We continue to be proud to endorse Professor Gary Lee and the Sports Karate Museum to be the future platform of his vision of the Sports Karate Museum and virtual reality with SetVR, whereby we have introduced Professor Gary Lee as the wisdom warrior, samurai ninja at the gate of the history portal. But before meeting Professor Gary Lee as the wisdom warrior, one must be able to neutralize the hologram attacker at the gate at the history portal and then be brought back into the courtyard to meet the core history generals. With that being said, Professor Gary, your vision of Sports Karate Museum and virtual reality with SetVR.
Well, thank you, Dr. Lee. It's all about pioneers, respect, and knowledge. And SetVR, Excel Unleashed, has allowed the Sport Karate Museum to do that. Now, we've got a core group, Judge Roy Kerman, the man who brought the two-point kick rule to the world, George Minshew, man who brought the first gold ring to open competition, Chris Minshew, NBL world champion, and Mr. Mike Dillard, the owner of Century Martial Arts Supply, the largest martial arts supplier in the world. And then every month, or what periodically, we'll add a new history general to the castle. And we're going to be able to teach people about sport karate in America, thanks to SetVR XL Unleashed. Reggie, God bless you, sir. You take care, okay?
You as well. Thank you, sir.
You bet. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to bring back my special guest, Barry Myers. Barry, you there?
Of course I am. What's going on?
Well, Barry, we've had a great show, but I'm going to hit you with a name. You ready?
Okay, give me a name.
Alan Steen.
Oh, dear God, you would have to put the founder of Texans Karate Club and one of America's greatest. What I would say is what an incredible and amazing founder of our martial arts of Chundaquan and Texas Karate at its blood and guts era, and just a magnificent mentor, great, beautiful friend, and just an amazing life history.
Tim Kirby.
Did you say Tim Kirby?
Tim Kirby.
Tim Kirby, Grandmaster Tim Kirby, extraordinary athlete and total focus with abilities that move beyond the spectrum in that era. Most people couldn't see the beauty in it because it was just so extraordinary. I mean, amazing individual. Love him to pieces. Yep. Great master.
Yes. Phil Weiland.
Phil Weiland, another great Texas icon that came from the generation of the blood and guts era. One of the few that was untouchable in sparring and in fighting. You couldn't get a point to him, but he'd make sure you had plenty of points to go home and learn about. And one of the great friends I have and supporters love Phil Wyman to pieces.
Got one more for you. Got one more. You ready?
Okay. Oh, Laurie Tobin, my God, what an extraordinary individual in every single category, a brilliant mind, a genius. Mostly the kind heart is an ocean wide. And I couldn't have a better partner. She's earned her black belt. She's been my producer, manager, and promoter for many.
My black belt.
That's your black belt. That's correct. And she's my black belt too. More than that, she's my wife. And she really is the spiritual leader that I needed in many different ways to move forward. And just
cool.
A tenacious, wait a minute, just a very tenacious warrior. Nothing
cool.
Unstoppable. And in our Chickasaw way, we could say the unconquered and the unconquerable warrior that never quits.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, it's been an incredible show, ladies and gentlemen, with Barry Byers and, of course, my producer, Jesse Bowen. The five, the incredible five, Kerry Slatcher, Walter Stradlatt, Colonel Torres, Collie Bum, Adam James, and Dr. John Terry, and my amazing co-host, A.J. Perry. And I remember now, Dean called me today earlier, and he said he wasn't going to be on the show tonight for some reason or another. So we missed Dean. But God bless parts unknown, and God bless everybody listens. And we say this every week. We meet it from the heart. Much, much mahalo and aloha. Karen, I love you.
I love you. Good night, everybody. I love you all.
Good night.
Aloha. Guys.
Aloha. Good night,
Thank
everybody.
You. God bless.